Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Maximizing Moments Morning Show, where we meet in the mix to share a daily inspirational boost. Here's your host, Bridget Banks.
Great day, everyone. Truly hope you are enjoying your day on today. Today's episode, we're going to expound on having an eagle's eye. Eagle's eye is to empower you to see beyond what you see. Envision with your imagination and your vision what you want to become your reality. And what God has for reality. So we're going to expound a little bit more on the eagle's eye. On yesterday, so I was asking what should today's episode be about, and Spirit spoke to me and said, an eagle's eye, having an eagle's eye. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on today, oh God. We bless you and we glorify you and we lift you up on today. You are highly exalted above all things and all measures. God, we bind the enemy on every side in the name of Jesus. Protect this broadcast, Lord God, the airways, Lord God, that listeners may be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, cleanse, purify your people, oh God. And we thank you even on today that we are impartation, oh God, of greater vision, greater anointing, and greater faith. We thank you right now, Lord God, that your people are flying higher heights, soaring beyond every obstacle, soaring beyond anything they could ever imagine. We thank you, Lord, this is the season for takeoff. Takeoff. Launch into the deep. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. We thank you right now, Lord God, to give us the eyesight of an eagle. We bless you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So today's episode, super excited. We're going to talk about the eagle's eye, the eagle's eye. If we think about the eagle eye from a natural standpoint, it is among the strongest in the animal kingdom, with an eyesight estimated at 4 to 8 times stronger than that of an average human, okay? It's 4 to 8 times stronger than that of an average human. And not only that, their eyeball is fixed in such a way that they are unable to move it. So when you think about having the eyesight of an eagle, is that beyond what is natural for a human? So when the Lord speaks to us and say, have the eyesight of an eagle, he wants to have eyesight that is beyond the physical realm. We have the physical realm, and then we have a multidimensional realm that we are in. And we are to see beyond what we see by seeing into the spirit realm. Okay? And so we talk about having the eyesight of an eagle. An eagle is fixed. It can't even move. It doesn't have the ability to even see. Which, on the sides, that means it has to be focused, and where it's soaring is directly focused on its destination. So that is the boldness of what, and the focus, and the preciseness, and strategicness that the Lord wants for us to have in this season. The eye of an eagle. The best recorded vision in humans is 20/10. The ability to see objects clearly from 20 feet when a normal human can only see them at 10 feet. Okay. So the clearest vision a human can obtain is through the science of a vision correction procedure. So there has to be a vision correction. want to think about this episode on today, it is to talk a lot about paradigms, but it's to really allow us to shape and mold our eyesight to see what God sees. It's a multidimensional, not seeing what we see, but seeing what God sees. Having these traits mean that eagles have a visual acuity of 25 or 24. So we talk about this year having 20/20. So if you think about having an eagle's eye, God wants 20/20 is us being able to see in the physical realm clearly what God is saying. But I believe he wants us to go a bit deeper. And as we talk about an eagle and a natural, they see 25 or 24 at best. And God wants us to see beyond that. Why? Because we have that ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to see anything beyond physical, the realm of what we see. Even when God begins to reveal to us a thing, he has to give it to us in a way, or has to be, and that's where our paradigms come from that which we can conceive or that which we can understand. So an eagle, having an eagle, eagle conveys the powers and messages of the spirit. It is the man's connection to divine because it flies higher than any other bird, okay? So we think about the research behind an eagle, because when God gave me an eagle's eye, I wanted to know more about the eagle itself. We see many references in the Bible to an eagle. Matter of fact, about 34 times we see reference of an eagle in the Bible. So I wanted to know a little bit more about what is this manifestation? What is this bird that has been kingly enough to be referenced in the Bible and that we ought to extract and be able to learn from? An eagle, it's when you see an eagle, it's a sign of freedom. When we talk about this, this is the year the oppressed go free. It's a sign of courage, boldness that an eagle has. When you see an eagle, it's even on the seal for this nation, the eagle. That is what this nation was built on and what it represented. So eagle, and it's important. In eagle, we always talk about biblical principles. And how they relate to how we operate in our daily lives. It's the importance of honesty and truthful principles. That's what an eagle, that's what our nation was built upon. And of course, even in that vision, it had to unfold because we have not seen the fullness of even what was written. But back into this, we talk about the eagle. We think about the eagle, and we think about the Isaiah 40 and 31, because we know that Isaiah was the eagle-eyed prophet. that's what we call him, the eagle-eyed prophet. And that's seeing not only for the present, but for generations to come. So there are those of us who are called as visionaries to see beyond what we see. We see beyond even our lifetime. We see for generations to come. But I would like to reference this very common scripture here. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I couldn't help but notice, but it say, but those who wait upon the Lord. Okay, so this is anybody who is waiting on the Lord, and you are waiting for his coming, the coming of the Messiah, the second coming. It's a time for you to renew your strength. It's a time for you to run and not be weary. It's a time for you to walk and not faint. At no given time, you should give up. At no given time, you should stop. At no given time, you should become stalled or stagnant. You should be always moving forward, progressing. So, but it said, but those who wait upon the Lord. So it's very liberating here. As you see, it said, but those who wait upon the Lord, we're all waiting for the second coming of the Messiah. We're all waiting. Therefore, that allows me to know that each and every one of you who listen to this broadcast, no matter who you are, you have the ability to be an eagle. You have the ability to have an eagle's eye. You have the ability. So we're going to delve a little deeper into having an eagle's eye, okay? Because eagle, they're very precise. In this season, God has really been dealing with the preciseness and the strategicness and what we do in order to fulfill the vision and purpose for our lives. And so you think about eagle eye, notice everything. It's pay attention to detail, very small details. I remember being in the military, that is everything. Attention to detail. Everything is attention to detail. And so you notice even the very minuteness of things. And so this is, God has anointed us to see beyond our limitations. What I mean by that, because you are in this this fleshly body, God has given us this vessel that beholds this treasure on the inside of us. You have limitations. You have limitations. Your natural eyesight has limitation. Your ears, everything has natural limitations. However, you're not limited. Why you're not limited? Because you have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit allows you to experience God outside of you. Allows you to experience this world outside of you. It allows you to see this world in a multidimensional way than what you can normally see. So God wants us to have that fresh insight. Think about an eagle. Eagle is said to hunt for fresh meat, okay? We want in this season fresh meat, fresh oil, fresh anointing, that of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about meat, we're talking about word from God, fresh meat that anointed to seek out new insights and fresh revelation. We are not to bask in past glories. We see that even in Haggai, that the glory of this present house shall be that greater of its former. Remember one of the great athletes said in basketball, and I can't remember his name at the moment, but he said, they asked him, how do he succeed? How do he do what he does so greatly? And he said simply this. He said, I'm able to do it because I don't, I forget my past failures and my past accomplishments. And what does that simply mean? He stay present. He stay present. So you have to stay present. You have to stay present. You have to always continue to be thriving and moving forward and being led by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is always advancing. It's never stagnant. We have to have an eagle's eye to be able to see that the kingdom of God in the midst of the different things that happens in this world. So we think about an eagle, it's symbolic of freedom, symbolic of power, symbolic of inspiration, and it's a symbol of being released from bondage. Even when we put the seal on this nation with an eagle, it was a symbol to say we were released from bondage, freedom. This country is supposed to represent freedom. And so, of course, as I said before, that vision has to continually unfold and evolve in so many different aspects that we won't dive into for this episode. So, but we must always be sensitive to the times that we're in and know what we ought to do. We are not caught unaware by the enemy's tactics. We are not caught unaware. When you think about an eagle, eagle knows the evils that surround them. The eagle knows, they have an eagle eye. They're able to sense anything that the evil presents. Eagle, so we think about that, and you have an eagle's eye. We're not ignorant to the enemy's devices. We're not ignorant to anything that he does, and we must be in a place of understanding that we're not unaware of him. So he's never catching us off guard unless we're not in sync or tapped into what it is that God is speaking in the realm of the spirit. So that's part of having an eagle's eye. We got to know what God is saying in the realm of the spirit. Eagles, when they are soaring, because eagles don't flap, you know, they soar on the currents. You know, when things are, the winds are strong, the strong winds, that current, the eagles use that to soar. So part of having an eagle's eye is that even when the storms are raging, even when strong winds are blowing, and whatever that may appear to be in your life or what we may be experiencing as a nation, but whatever it is, that we have to be in a place of being okay with using those things to soar. We talk about the great legend, basketball legend Kobe Bryant, his death. We use the lifespan that he had, the courage, the commitment, the dedication, the work ethic, the mentality that he had, the mama mentality, to be able, he used what was pressure, what was coming against him, he used it as a way to soar. He looked at it as opportunity. That's another way of having a multidimensional view. You have to look at it as an opportunity to be able to soar, to be able to conquer, to be able to overcome. And so this is the year we will have sweatless victories. Why? Because they're already promised. They're already promised. So if they're already promised, there's no reason to sweat. There's no reason to worry. There's no reason to stress. Why? Because God has already promised you victory. When the children of Israel being released from bondage and going into freedom, the promised land, Ed, was already theirs. It was a matter of them just obeying instructions and going in and conquering the giants that was in the land, taking back the territory that belong to them. So sweatless victory is just obeying what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. Eagles, you think about them, and of course research them. You look at, they look directly at the sun and they soar towards it. And you know, you can be in your car, be outside, and the sun be so bright, we putting on shades, we looking away from it, it's too strong. God said, have the eye of an eagle. And so, you know, we reverence that in the spirit realm. And it's, if we could see the Son of God, that is, see him face to face, raise a generation or generations that are so bold and passionate and courageous in their relationship with God that they wanted to see him face to face. They soar towards him, not away from him. They soar to see him face to face. And what I love about this is I love to present that opportunity for everyone, because a lot of times, just like when you think about it, and this is what comes to mind, obviously, Adam, what caused him to fear, what caused him to become shame, what caused him to try to hide from God was his sin or his disobedience. But we know that we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And Jacob wrestled with an angel. Okay, of course, There's many theological approaches to this, but we're going to come from this standpoint right here. Jacob wrestled with an angel. Jacob, until he experienced his change, until he experienced his ultimate surrender, Jacob then called this place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." That lets me know wherever you are in your walk, whatever it is that you are struggling with, I like to present the opportunity for everyone. This is about maximizing moments and seizing an opportunity. And part of that is seize the opportunity to be able to see God face to face. Jacob, we know who he was. We know he didn't have the best character. But yet, he wrestled with God, and he said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." So if you're listening to this broadcast and you find yourself and you are in a struggle, you have to get before God. Don't run away from him. Run to him. Have the desire and a passion to see him face to face. Jacob seen him face to face, and God spared his very own life. That was, of course, like I said, there is many theological approaches and studies to it, but I believe that angel was simply a manifestation, one of the manifestations of God. And he named that place that he was in Peniel. So we want to experience God in a multi-dimensional world. This is a multi. Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That means God wants us to have a way that we experience this world multidimensionally. And you think about this, Paul saying this, you know, it might seem illogical to you. It didn't make sense. What do you mean you want me to see what I don't see? You know, what do you mean by that? And is that we have now the power of the Holy Spirit. We see things in multi-dimensions. We are able to see things beyond what is in this physical realm, beyond what our, you know, this is a three-dimensional realm that we're in, beyond what our three-dimensional minds can even can understand. The Bible tells us, you know, he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. That means there's a limitation even on your understanding unless the Lord reveal it. Everything in this world is a manifestation of the spirit world, okay? Everything in this world is a manifestation of the spirit world. So even what we normally understand or what we normally can see is still limited unless the Lord reveal it. And so the Holy Spirit, he's here inside of us so that he will be able to teach us all things, bring back to our remembrance, be able to teach us all things. The Holy Spirit is God on the inside of us. Not that we know everything, but whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to us, because the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit has great power, all power. The Holy Spirit has this great anointing that's only inside of us. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful, all-knowing. And so that dwells on the inside of us, inside these earthen vessels. We have this treasure that's on the inside of us. And whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to us on the inside of us, we're able to see things a bit differently than what they appear and what they appear. The Holy Spirit, you know, searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so this treasure that's on the inside of us, I think we've underestimated it. I think we don't utilize it as much as we should use it. I think we don't maximize on it as much as we should maximize on it. The Holy Spirit really is God on the inside of us. Man, I mean, it's just I can't even, the words to even express how great of a time that we live in, amazing time that we live in, that, you know, we have the disciples, they walk with Jesus. We have the disciples that they walk with Jesus. That was a manifestation of God in the flesh. But then Jesus sent back his Holy Spirit, and that's God on the inside of us, which is a different manifestation, it's God in the Spirit. So, and we have that on the inside of us. The veil has been ripped. We are in a dispensation of grace, but grace, I often say, doesn't give you permission to sin. It gives you the ability to overcome it where we had no power to overcome it before. That was the purpose of all this thing. And so we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So let's get back to the eagle's eye. We are able to see things that we normally can't see because of what's on the inside of us, which is the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to me the other day. He said, you can only receive what you perceive, which means that we know that our paradigms. We think about Isaiah 43:19, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Okay. We have to perceive. You got to be able to perceive. You cannot receive something. We think about Jesus when he spoke to the disciples and he was asking them, you know, who do men say that I am? You know, and some said that he was John the Baptist, some was Elias, some was Jeremiah, and one of them, the prophets, you know. He said, but whom do you say that I am? Meaning, going back to that personal relationship with God, I hone in on this because there's a gaping hole of religion. There's a gaping hole of religion. What I mean by that is, there's a gap between religion and relationship. And so you take a look at this passage, and of course we all know it. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And so, and they continue on, said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So, here, you know, of course, Peter received access, but he received access from something that was not revealed to him, but the Father in heaven. And even if you think about even now and today, there are too many believers that are predicated or relied upon other believers with their relationship with God. The veil was ripped for us all to have access granted. You know, when Jesus, when his work was finished, it is finished. And once he ascended back, now we have the Holy Spirit, you know, it's done. You know, the veil is being removed. It's gone. And so there are some aspects, and you'll hear about it in previous episodes, there are some aspects of God that no matter what's prophesied to you, no matter what's taught to you, no matter, and that's all purposes in the body of Christ. We're here to edify and to equip. But there is access or different things that you won't access. There's aspects of God that you won't access until there's part of your purpose that you won't access until you develop that relationship with God to experience him in an eagle eye standpoint. Eagle eye, you being able to see beyond what you see. That's moving beyond the milk and into the meat. And so we are in a generation that desire for fresh meat, fresh wisdom, fresh insight, and fresh revelation. And of course, that comes from God. So you think about the multidimensional way of viewing life, so to speak, and the power on it of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. that anything that we can perceive in our imagination is still limited. It's still limited. And what I mean by that is because we are in these earthen vessels, okay, even what God has to download or give us revelational insight on, he gives it, he describes it to us to something that we can actually comprehend or understand with the brains that we can hold now, because we have not received our spiritual heavenly bodies yet. You think about when John saw Jesus, he described him like this: among the lampstands was someone like a son of man dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like a sound of rushing waters. This is not the way Jesus actually is. It's because he now lives in the spirit realms, but the Holy Spirit had to translate to him a reality into something that John's imagination could actually perceive. And so even your greatest imagination has limitations. Even your greatest imagination has a limitation. And what does I mean by that? Because even when God downloads to you, he still has to give it to you in a way, even though it's spiritual, even though it's the spirit realm, even though it's through the eye of an eagle, he's still giving it to you in a way that you can comprehend it in this earthen vessel that you're in now. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, he would give them parables to relate to the times that they were in so they could understand what it is. But still, even that, it only spoke to people who understood who he was. It was only because even with him speaking in parables, those who were unbelievers did not understand what he was saying. Why? Because their minds were veiled. Their minds was veiled. When you are an unbeliever, your mind is veiled. You are limited with the carnal flesh. And so you cannot even comprehend the spiritual things. You cannot relate to the spiritual things. So that's why you have to be born again of water and of spirit. But back to the imagination. The Bible tells us, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So that power is the Holy Spirit. So why can he do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, or ask or imagine in different translations? And that gives you the freedom that liberates you. Again, this is the year the oppressed go free. That liberates you to imagine. I mean, everything that is in God, you know, Paul said, cast down every imagination, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. But everything that's within the realm of God and what he wants you to see, imagine freely, dream freely. Joseph was a dreamer, we all know. Dream freely, because even your greatest imagination, and I reference Kobe when he said most people are afraid of the dream on the inside of them because they're afraid of disappointment, but the dream on the inside of you that God has given you is guaranteed success because it's a promise. God doesn't impregnate you that's not a promise. Okay, so it's a promise that you're going to succeed as long as you follow the footsteps and walk after the instructions that he has given for you to. It's guaranteed that you're going to succeed. So feel free to dream. Dream. Dream big. Dream enormous dream. Because even your greatest imagination, God can supersede that. Because even your greatest imagination is limited. Is limited. And so we think about the spirit realms and how the Holy Spirit searches all things. And a limitation is that most of our imaginations can only see, we know, in three dimensions. And we talked about it. The spiritual world has many more dimensions than we could ever even perceive. And it has to be translated to us for us to be able to digest it and be able to move forward in it. So move forward in what it is that God is entrusting to you. My job is for opening eyes that they may see. You know, Isaiah said, like, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I am anointed to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. And so recovery of sight, that means at one point you could see, and maybe you're not seeing as clearly as you should see now. So there's an unveiling God is doing in this season. He wants you to see with an eagle's eye. He wants you to see. He wants you to see. He wants you to be able to soar beyond the currents. There's a fresh anointing. When you think about oil, you think about oil and how oil is burned to heat water to create steam to generate electricity. So eventually it becomes what is light. So when you have fresh oil on you through the process that you have to go through, the pressure, the heat, that you have to go to, and it's to generate your light. But this oil, I declare and decree, this oil that you possess is not only for you, but it's for generations to come. It's for generations to come. This oil is not only for you, but it's for generations to come. We see that even in scripture. We see how Aaron was anointed. And his sons, and they was consecrated, and that they may minister unto the priest's office. And then the children of Israel saying, this shall be the holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. And so God wants a fresh oil anointing that would not only withstand the pressures of nowadays, of things that we're experiencing in this nation or even in your personal life, but it's for generations to come. Generational oil. Generation. That will supersede even your generation. So in Jesus anointed to restore the sight of the blind, of course, they were physically blind, but we know the revelation goes beyond that, is what they could not see in the spirit realms. And this is the serious issue. Because if you can't see in the realm of the spirit, you cannot make it your reality. I'm going to say that again. What you cannot see in the realm of the spirit, you cannot make it your reality. So my job is to help unblock. We expose you to a different way of seeing things, different way of looking at things. And this is very important because if you can't see in the realm of the spirit, a lot of times the warfare you go through becomes over demanding, it becomes very difficult for you to overcome because you can't see in the realm of the spirit what's really coming against you, what blockage is happening. God told me last year, by the time of my birthday, that I had already broken six generational curses, and he was breaking that last one on my birthday for that 18-year cycle. During that period of time, it was a total of seven generational curses being broken. You have to be able to see in the realm of the spirit what you're coming against or what's coming against you. And talk about that's having the eye of an eagle so you can be able to conquer that which is trying to come against you, or you'll be able to soar beyond it and above it, because a lot of times you're not fighting just for you, but you're fighting from generations behind you. And so the evil spirits and what God would allow you to do in the processes, and I won't go too deep into it for this episode, but you say, how do you break generational curse? Well, we know simply by walking in obedience and being submitted to the Holy Spirit in your life. I said submit, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Okay. When you think about the seven, when you have been delivered, and the enemy will come back to that household. We see this in scripture, and to see the household swept clean. But if you don't take the time to keep it that way, the enemy comes back seven times, not only to you, but to that generation. So the enemy is not after you. He's after your generation. He's after the generations that are coming. So when you're talking about breaking generational curses, you're talking about operating in such a way that will not only deal with the now, but it is to deal with what is to come. Okay? And it's breaking curses, breaking generational curses. So you have to be mindful of what it is that God is asking of you, and that is how you break those curses. You submit to God and resist the devil. Sometimes we leave out the submit to God, right? But when you submit to God, you resist the devil and he flee. He has to flee even from your generation. That's how you break generational curses. And so we're talking about having in the realm of the spirit, operating in the realm of the spirit, not looking at the things that you're looking at, taking an evaluation, doing an assessment of things that you're always having to. This is always a problem. This is always an issue. Why am I always having warfare in different or various aspects of my life? Then you have to understand that it may just be a curse there. It's something that you're wrestling with in the spirit realm that you're having to fight against in order to conquer that giant. I talked about in a previous episode is to bring down the giant, every giant. Don't leave none standing. The children of Israel left their strongest enemy standing, Jesus, the Jebusites. They left them standing, and them leaving their strongest enemy standing is something that's a continual threat to you. Constantly, you having to have war against because you won't take them all down, take all giants down. So God's way is higher than our ways. And we know that, and so that's why it's important for us to see in the realm of the spirit. When we're talking about the kingdom that we're building, it's not of this world. We cannot see it in carnality. So not only the values and goals of God's kingdom, but also the means of attaining them are in direct opposition to the ways of this world. So I'll talk about that a lot, especially when I talk about business principles and using biblical principles to succeed. Good success is that we don't do things the way culture and society do them. Does that mean we always have to rave up a rant? No. That's why the Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. There are things that God will have you infiltrate, especially when we or advancing the kingdom, you are camouflaged. You are hidden to the enemy, so he won't see you coming. So you're able to do what it is that God has you on assignment to do. We think about Elisha, and we're close to closing out here. Elisha's servant looked with fearful concern and with the armies that were approaching to fight against them. But Elisha knew that the hosts of heaven were prepared to battle on their behalf. And fear not, he said, for they that be with us are more than those that be with them. Both men were seeing the same situation. The difference in their outlook was that one saw through the eyes of the spirit and the other merely by natural means. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. There's something God has been speaking in the spirit lately, is there is more for you than those who are against you. And that's why you have to see beyond what you see. God has to open your eyes. When the blind man said, I see men as trees. And so he looked again, and he had to see them for who they are. So you have to know that that which is presented to you that appears to be an obstacle or a battle that you have to fight, there has to be an enemy for your victory. Say that again. There has to be an enemy for your victory. Okay. And so but victory is already yours. It belongs to the Lord. This is about kingdom. So they're not your enemies. There's enemies of the kingdom of God. They are God enemies, and God will burst through his enemies. And so you have to see that there is more for you. And that's why you have to have an eye of an eagle to be able to see that there is a spirit realm that's fighting with you for you to obtain the victory. And so we are bridging that gap between religion and relationship. We are used to seeing things done a certain way, said a certain way, all those things. But God has put us into a new realm that we have to see as he see. We have to see from a multidimensional view. Even our greatest view is still limited. And so God gives it to us in a way that we may understand it and that we may be able to conquer. All right. So an eagle's eye is to empower you to see beyond what you see in vision with imagination, and your vision will become your reality. The vision, everything that God has entrusted to you and what God has. I would encourage you to pray this prayer. Don't only pray for what belongs to you, but pray for what generations before you didn't obtain. Pray for that as well. Pray for what generations before you did not obtain. This is your time. This is your season. This is your year. And this is your decade to seize the opportunity. Have a blessed day. Be inspired, be encouraged, and be empowered to have an eagle's eye. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Be sure to follow Bridget on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Bridget Banks. That's BRIDGETTS Banks. To learn more, visit Bridget on the web at BridgetBanks.com. Join us for the next episode of Maximizing Moments Morning Show to receive your inspirational boost. Until next time, seize the opportunity.